Okay, hello Yinka Sumeya. This episode is a little bit different. We are going to be giving advice to our younger selves. Okay, so I think it would be good and interesting actually to speak to our younger selves in this episode. And we can see where that goes. So I think it would be good, first of all, for us to share who we were, yeah, what our names were, or who we were known as our younger selves. So Sumeya, I just want to quickly introduce your younger self.
She's called Maya.
Okay.
From my mom pronouncing my name Sumeya. So Maya is my nickname. And growing up, probably up until I got married, everyone knows me as Maya.
Okay, inshallah, Maya.
And mine was Ola. Okay. It comes from my full name, Ola Yinka. And my family just took the first part of that and everyone just called me Ola.
Okay, so now I'm going to confuse the viewers a little bit because before I became Muslim, my non-Muslim name was Yinka. So we share a name. Very few people know that. So I was known as Yinka. So when I speak to my younger self, I'm going to be speaking to Yinka. So we would encourage you, the viewers, to do the same. So as we're doing this, you might want to picture your younger self in your mind, choose an age. We're doing the same. And as we kind of speak, maybe that age is going to increase, maybe it will decrease. We might want to mention what age our younger selves are whilst we're speaking. And obviously, we can break out of speaking to our younger selves and discuss, you know, what's kind of coming up for us. So,
you want to go first?
Yes, I think that's first. A good idea.
Why are you asking me to go first? Normally, I kind of pose the question.
Yalla.
Okay, so I'm looking at Yinka, and I'm seeing Yinka as a teenager. Actually, I'm seeing Yinka as a teenager. Before Islam, obviously. And wow. this is deep. I'm looking at her, and what would I say to her? Okay. I would say Yinka, this is hard. Yinka, when you were younger, you didn't have a loving, close relationship with your father. You didn't know what love was with your father, and you were dealt with harshly, strictly, in a very kind of rigid way. You were put down, you were criticized. But you don't need to carry that with you. You won't need to carry that with you. One day, you're going to be stronger. You're going to find yourself. You're going to do great things. But don't carry that with you into your choices. There are things that happen in life, things that will happen in life, that will rock you, that will rock your foundation, that will make you question yourself and your identity and your value and your worth. But you don't need to carry the actions of others that were primarily from your primary caregivers into your future. But even if that happens, and it has happened, you can break away from what was the norm. And that's a tool that you can carry into your future. You can break away from what was habitual, what was familiar to you, and you can become a different person. You can have a different type of experience. Oh, Sumeya. What got you emotional about that?
I don't know. Just the whole thing. I think I'm thinking about little Maya as you're talking. I'm looking for my tissue. she is, it is? Did I actually put it there? She is about 7 or 8. She's growing up in Egypt. And I think she felt that she didn't fit in, and that was a big pain, a big source of pain, and kind of trying to find her place, you know, in every way, not being from the culture, the language early on. Really not having friends. Like, I think that the emotion that comes up is loneliness, like a deep loneliness. And what I would say to her is that, like, you don't have to worry about being liked, Maya. You don't have to worry about fitting in here necessarily or being accepted. A time will come in the future where you'll be brilliant. Like, people will love you truly just for being yourself. Like, it's gonna be extraordinary. And this will, this feeling like you want people around you or you want people to be your friend, it will change in that the people who surround you will be your people truly. Like, you won't have to do anything. You won't have to perform. You won't have to be anything. And they'll love you like you can't imagine.
I love it because I'm one of your people.
I love you too.
He's going to kill us for the mics.
You know you've found your tribe, right?
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. I'm so grateful. And from the contrast, I really appreciate it that much more. Like, truly. Alhamdulillah. Uh-huh.
We knew this would be emotional, but we didn't realize how, it's like we started and just bam. And I think that's what kind of inner child work does. It just hits the right points.
It's so deep. It's so deep.
Yeah. But it works. Yeah. It works. So what's La Yinka saying to Ola?
When I think of Ola, I always think of this brilliant, bubbly, bright, friendly, life of the party little girl, and who was just open and just trusting, and she had no idea what was coming. And I guess in many ways, I want to say to her, like, Ola, life will come, but you don't have to live in a shadow of yourself. Mm. You don't have to strip yourself away in order to protect yourself from harm. You don't have to lock yourself up into a box so that you're not hurt. When you were 5, you were violated from someone who you would never have thought would do that to you. But that doesn't have to be your story. That hurt, that breaking of trust doesn't have to apply to every single person that comes your way, and that there are people who genuinely love you and who'd never harm you. Trust them. Open up to them, allow them in. Because they are in your corner. And even though there are people out there who might not be, but there are also people who are in your corner and will be in your corner. And whatever happens, you're still brilliant, you're still bright, you're still beautiful, you're still giving, and you've got so much to give to the world. And don't let your experiences stop you from giving to the world, because your light is needed and you can touch lives everywhere. And I feel like in many ways that I channel that in the work that I do, just to give that light to people, that I know that this light that Allah has given me, in order to kind of say, Allah, you're still there, you know? And thank you.
I think as you were speaking, I kind of jumped a few years and I saw myself as a new Muslim. So this is going back 20 years. And prior to that, I was at the top of my class. I was extremely bright. I think that's probably what triggered it off when you mentioned bright. I was at the top of my class, straight A student, extremely academically inclined. And then I found Islam. And I remember all my teachers saying to my mum, you know, she's gonna really be someone one day. You know, she is very bright, she's intelligent, straight A student. She's going to go to university, she's going to do her master's, even a PhD, she's going to have an amazing career. Then I found Islam. So I'm looking at the new Muslim, younger version of myself 20 years ago. And I didn't achieve those things in the traditional sense, because I kind of got wrapped up in the world of Islam as it was back then, and went through a variety of experiences, some very, very painful, some where I was alone. I lived in so many different places, and I'm seeing the younger Alia now, because she's obviously Muslim, and I'm seeing her very unstable, moving from room to flat to house in different, you know, in the first couple of years after becoming Muslim. And I would say to her, you have a Lord who knew the sincerity in your heart the day you took your Shahada, who knew that you became Muslim for him, who knew that you moved away from everything that your parents had raised you upon to embrace the truth, because you were rationally convinced that this was the truth. And as a result of that, maybe, yes, you didn't achieve what they said you would achieve, but you know what? You have a Lord who remembers everything, and he remembers the sacrifice you made the day you testified that he is one and that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his final messenger. And though you may not have achieved what they said you would, subhanallah, he opened opportunities for you that you could never have imagined. And this is Allah. This is Allah. So I would say to her, it's okay. You haven't become that person, but he's going to make you become a different person. He's going to reward your sacrifices in a way that you never have imagined. And this is the promise of Allah. Alhamdulillah. What's Maya saying, Sumaya?
Oh, she's older, way older. This is almost a decade ago, so early 20s. I think she's newly married, moved over here, away from everyone and everything, redefinition time. This is where she becomes Sumaya. There's a naive, idealistic excitement, all the things I'm going to do, you know, it's going to be like this, it's going to be like that. It's buzzing. And when you said life of the party, and there's this kind of bubbly, childlike kind of joy. A time will come in the coming years where that's just going to get like pummeled out of her over time. Like, it's coming. And when I think of her then, I feel that sadness because she has no idea. She has no idea what's coming. And it's gonna take that that sense of joy and like that, it's gonna take it away and it's gonna be gone for a while. But what I wanna tell you, Maya, is that it's gonna come back again. You're gonna go through it, but it's gonna come back again. It's not lost on you forever. You're going to be different and you're going to see everything differently. But you are maturing and changing, and you're going to come back to it in a more insightful and measured way. But you are going to be happy and whole and everything again. You know? But I just, there's just such a profound sadness when you look when I look at her, that almost unassuming, there's an innocence there that was just, you know, and it makes me sad. But yeah, that it's not the end of the story.
I look at the adult Ola and her experiences in the last 20 years and the choices that she's made. And I say thank you. I look at her and I say thank you for making those choices. Because without you, I wouldn't be here today. Thank you for the doubts, for the wrong turns, for the moments of just sheer frustration, for the grappling onto the rope of Allah, just and not even understanding even how much longer you're going to be able to hold on. But just thank you, because with that, every ounce of strength that you used, I've been able to get to the point I am at right now, alhamdulillah. And, you know, even just the choice to leave the country and go to Egypt and having all sorts of things being said about me and about her, and her doubting herself and like berating herself and hating herself and all of that. But, you know, just holding on and deciding to make change. I'm so grateful for Allah. I'm so grateful that Allah just gave her all that she needed at every single stage so that we could get here.
I'm kind of having
images of Yinka as a very young child, as a teenager, as a Muslim, into adulthood, as a mother. So it's kind of like all coming. It's like a journey. And I'm seeing how she was a child that that didn't experience, as I mentioned earlier, the love that she needed, and searched for it in different ways. Before Islam, she searched for it. When she found Islam, she searched for it within the community, didn't find it within the community in her early years, didn't find that belonging, searched for it with sisters, in marriage, and having only gone through the most difficult test of her life, finally found it in two places. And my advice to my younger self would be, you will only ever find true, deep, everlasting love in those two places. And all those years that you were trying to find it, it was and the hollowness and the searching and the feeling of rejection and the emptiness and isolation, you know what? It was all so that you could find it in these two sacred places. And those places are with him and inside, within. And so I say to her, you've arrived, you're home. You know, you've been searching for home all this time, you know, pretty much your whole life. But you will always be at home when you love yourself enough, when you value yourself, when you love on yourself hard, and when you love him. And when that happens, that's when you can allow love in. So yeah, that's a reflection that I have. We've kind of gone round talking about this, and it's been very emotional. And I'm sure if we carried on, we would just take different insights and different, would have different reflections, and it would be probably become even more healing. This is kind of like inner child work, yeah, where we are reparenting the neglected, the rejected, the lonely, the scared, the angry, the hurt, the abused child. So I just want to spend the next few minutes just briefly talking about inner child work and how amazingly therapeutic and healing it is, and how we as the wiser, loving adult can love on that inner child who isn't whole, who isn't feeling secure, who is scared, and how that inner child manifests in different ways as the adult. Mm-hmm. So just a few thoughts. I'll start with you, Sameya, on that, inshallah.
I'm hearing you define inner child work about like healing early trauma. I think it's important to point out that early trauma does not have to be a result of explicit abuse or it's not implicational on parents or anything like that, but as a child you can perceive an experience as traumatic and you need to heal from that in the future. I echo your sentiment that it's so critical. Like, everybody needs to do their inner child work. There's no getting around it. I think that it not only has that impact on how you feel with regards to connecting, like looking backwards, but also it'll impact your relationships with your children. And because a lot of our stuff comes up when we interact with our children, there are many versions of us, or our spouses. We relive these certain aspects that come out, and with the healing work, it really helps.
So it's something you would definitely encourage everyone to
do. Absolutely. Look into it, learn about it, read up on it, and find a way to practice.
Thank you. I completely agree that it's vital, and we don't know actually the extent of what we're carrying from our childhood, especially things that we have unconsciously or consciously chosen to block out, and things that we choose not to revisit and not to talk about. You find, you know, in the work that I do, I find that people have numbing behavior based on trauma from childhood. And like you said, trauma isn't just the things that we categorically label as trauma.
As long as it was traumatic to us.
Yeah, as long as it was traumatic and it had an emotional impact. Yeah. You know, even just a parent's look can be taken as trauma, you know, and then we're triggered. That person is triggered time and time again. And you don't know why that look that that person gives you or you don't like them or you know, and that's because you've held on to whatever emotion that traumatic event, you've stored it. And it's I say it's vital. It's vital, like you said, Sumeya, to deal with and process the past and in order to move forward in a wholesome, healthy, connected, grounded way, in every sphere, because we have different relationships, employee, you know, like different kind of relationships, and it comes in. And to be open to receiving whatever comes up and to facing whatever comes up, and knowing truly that you're safe now, and you're just trying to get that inner child back to safety, because clearly they don't feel safe, and getting them back to safety, and highly encourage it.
Yeah. I think my final thoughts on this is that we are adults who are journeying through this life, as you said, with many different relationships, with the spouse, with friends, with people that we work with, people that work for us, and so on. And if you find yourself reacting to certain experiences or certain types of people, and you can't quite make sense of why that is, and it's a pattern, it's something that's quite regular, often it's linked back to something that you've experienced as a child that left a lasting impression on you unconsciously. And it's important for you to address that by addressing how the child experienced that event or that person or that experience at that age. And often what you find with inner child work is that when you do that, when you address the fear, not the fear that you have now as an adult, but the fear the child had at the time, you will find the ways in which you react to people and events and experiences now as an adult, or the way that certain emotions manifest, will begin to disappear because you've resolved the deeper rooted issue, which is often what happened there, the traumatic experience that happened there. I believe it is something that, I can echo your sentiments, Sumeya, it's something that everyone should do and everyone can do, and it's incredibly gentle, it's loving, it's compassionate, it's merciful, to just imagine your younger self at a certain age and just to say, you know, I acknowledge that you're scared about this, I acknowledge that you're angry about this, I acknowledge that you're hurt about this because of what happened. Right now you have me, and I'm going to love you, and I'm going to protect you, and you're safe and you're secure.
And that's safe and security. Right? Safety and security is so important.
That safety and security is important. And, you know, it's almost like when you speak to your inner child in that way, it's almost instantly you just feel like I'm okay. So, you know, we wanted to talk about this in this episode because we find in a lot of sisters that we interact with, that there are inner child issues that are manifesting in their adulthood, and you don't need to carry that with you anymore. You don't need to allow this hurt inner child to affect your future and your relationships with other people. It can be resolved through this very, very gentle form of self-therapy. So we've come to the end of this episode. I am really, really looking forward to reading the comments. As I'm sure you are, Sumaya, you are, Layinka. Yeah. And I just want to say high five, because that was hard. That was really, really hard. But you know what? I pray that our openness and vulnerability encourages other people to be vulnerable with their inner child and themselves too, inshallah. Okay, that's the end of this episode. We'll see you at another episode of Honesty Talk, inshallah.
I was working within the sexual violence field, and in particular with trafficking and female genital mutilation.
Like you said, professionally, going from a facilitator.
It was absolute turmoil in my life because I was challenging my identity crisis. My father was about to be released from prison. I didn't know who I was again.
So many different transitions in a very, very short space of time.
You know, who am I?
In order for you to, subhanAllah, get to the place that you are at now, you had to take that step.
Why Allah? Why are you testing me again?